Genesis 25. And then Hebrews chapter number 12. We'll read chapter 25 of Genesis first, beginning in verse 29. Give everybody a chance, an opportunity to find the book of Genesis. If you need some help, ask your neighbor. Look in the index if you're having a hard time. All right. Genesis 25, verse 29. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Keep your place right there. Hebrews 12, verse number 16. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that how that afterward, when he," and there will always be an afterward. Before you ever make a choice in life, you better know that with all choices, there will be an afterward. There will be a consequence to every choice made. You young people need to note that. All of us, our lives, as long as we're alive, will always be filled with choices. And I've made a statement in a few weeks ago, I make it again tonight, that it is not chances but choices that determines your destiny, as far as your destiny in life. And he says here, "For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Let's go to God in just a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for the precious Word of God. And Lord, without a doubt, Lord, You have allowed these true stories to be recorded in the Word of God for our learning, for our admonition. Some stories that we can learn what to do, and other stories we learn what not to do. And I pray that You will help us as we look at Esau here for a few minutes tonight. And there's not a doubt in my mind that You're sending a message on time to RVT. Help us to have our ears on and listen. It'll take the Spirit of God to put weight on this message. It'll take the Spirit of God to put it in our hearts and help us to set up and pay attention, not just tonight, but in days to come. As I've already made the effort of exposing our people once again tonight to the fact that we do have an enemy, and that he has not give up and he will not quit. He is no doubt, even as I speak, strategically planning an attack. No doubt he's planning an attack on our young people. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. Maybe even just one. He's planning an attack possibly on our homes that makes up this church. Maybe not all, but some. Maybe even one. And I pray that You'll help us, help me as a pastor, to realize, God, that I am not invincible. That I have the potential, Lord, of falling. I have the potential in my flesh to bring shame to Your name. Dear Father, I believe that I'd rather die than to do that. I pray You help me, Lord, to know that the flesh cannot be trusted. The flesh is weak. The flesh is wicked. And dear Father, if any of us fall, it will be through the avenue of the flesh. I pray You would help us now as we endeavor to look at this Bible character. And I believe, God, You're wanting to say something to us. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, back in the... In fact, I looked today to see when actually we began putting a few thoughts together on this subject that I'm going to deal with tonight. And it was back in September. Back in September, along the time of our baptism in the month of September. And of course this came out of my own personal life. A lot of the things that I preach is personal to me. It's things that God has dealt with me about. Or things that God has warned me about. Things that God has instructed me about. Areas that I've seen where I have problems. So it's not when I'm preaching I'm up here on a pedestal and out of reach and out of touch. And certainly I'm not like the Pope that gets in a glass carriage and won't nobody touch him. I'd hate to have a spiritual leader I couldn't talk to and touch and have pray with me. Amen. And bleed right on top of that. But this message has come out of my own life. We find Esau at a weak point in his life being tempted. At a weak point in his life being tested. And you'll find in your life that that's usually when the trials will come and temptations will come. It'll not be in your strengths, but it'll be in your weaknesses. It'll not be when you're on the mountaintop shouting the victory a lot of times, but it'll be when you're dragging your tracks out and you're wondering, how in the world am I going to make it? As that was the very feeling of Esau. He even felt that he was at the point of death. He even thought that this is it for me. I am going under this time for sure. And it's in that moment that he did something that he regretted to the last day that he lived. Beware to us all here tonight that we make choices that will produce regret that will go with us to the grave. Amen. Amen. I want to deal tonight with bargaining with the blessings of God. Bargaining with the blessings of God. The birthright. Esau's birthright gave him a great privilege, great blessings was on him because he was the firstborn. He had precedence over his brothers, and it also gave him the opportunity of obtaining a double share of his father's inheritance. But I want you to know that in a weak time of his life, he came to the point that he did not esteem those blessings as blessings. They lost their value. And I want to tell you, when you start bargaining with the blessings of God, you will lose. There has been nobody in history, me or you or any before us, and there'll not be any after us, that'll use the blessings of God to bargain with that'll come out a winner. You're going to lose just as sure as you get in a trading spirit, swapping spirit. Bargaining with the blessings, you're going to lose. Regretfully, you're going to lose. Sorrowfully, you're going to lose. Because no way that you can trade up. There's no way that you can trade better. You're going to trade down. You're going to get the lesser. He traded the greater for the lesser. So beware, church. I want to hear this message myself tonight. Beware. Lest we bargain with the blessings of God. And I thought about this. How many times have I notice in my own life how cheaply have I sold out the blessings of God. There's been many times that I've been on a high spiritual level and with a cheap price lost it. I guarantee you that this building tonight is full of people that can say amen to that. There have been times that you've been on a spiritual level with God. There's been times, well, I feel a seriousness in the service. There have been times you've been on a high level with God. And maybe you know better, watch out to him that thinketh he standeth. Take heed lest he fall. Well, there's been times, buddy, I'm telling you from experience that I've been on a spiritual level even on after a Sunday service. And I'll tell you, before Monday, was dragging my tracks out. Was it because the devil beat me up? Was it because, my friend, that he came as a thief and stole away the blessings and the power and the presence of God out of my life? No, it was because I bargained away and I swapped off some blessings. My friend, my spirituality, I swapped off for some old thrill, some little old temporal something that didn't last no time. And my friend, filled my heart with regret and sorrow and brought about a loss of ground. Are you listening? Esau sold out. Sold his birthright. Put a cheap price on something that was costly. And lost. Lost. I want to remind us at the beginning of this message tonight that his birthright was not stolen. To be stolen means it was taken by force without your consent. I want to tell you tonight that his birthright, his blessing, was not stolen, but rather was swapped. To swap means to give something in order to get something. You better watch out, friend, if you get in the swapping mode, get in the swapping mindset, because you can't get something without giving something. That's true in the physical or the fleshly, and that's true in the spiritual. Amen. If you're on the spiritual level, my friend, you will not lose ground unless you swap it off. That you give it up in order to get something lesser. Get a physical. Get the fleshly. So it is with the spiritual. The same thing's true in the spiritual. Amen? Both ways. It works both ways. You've got to give up something in order to get something. That's why a lot of people's not making much headway at growing spiritually. They don't want to give up something. That's not popular preaching, and it's certainly not popular practice to hear that you give up something in order to get something. We want to live as we please and yet still have all of the blessings of God. Not too many preachers willing to stand up and tell the people, if you want to get more from God, give more of yourself. If you want to get more from God, get rid of some things in your life. If you want more of God in your heart and life, my friend, make room for Him. Make room for Him. Separate yourself from some things. Clean yourself up. Amen. Sanctify yourself. Amen. Listen, purify yourself. Get rid of some things. And I'll tell you what will happen. God will replace it. And I have, listen, I've been saved 27 years. And I have yet to have one person tell me, preacher, I gave up things in order to get some more spiritual things that was disappointed. I could use names right here, but I'm not, because that's not important. When these individuals first came to our church, they were introduced to the preaching of separation. They were introduced to Bible preaching on sanctification. They were introduced to the Bible truth of holy living. And by the way, it is still the will of God. It's still in the Word of God. Amen. Well, you know what? They rejected it at first. Not rebelliously so, but just kind of rejected it at first. And then one day, this individual decided, I'm going to fall in line with the preaching. If my pastor's God's man, if my pastor's getting a message from God, and God has put me in this church underneath him as my spiritual leader, then I'm going to fall in line. And I did that when I first got saved.
When I first got saved, I didn't know nothing about the Bible, but I had confidence in my pastor. If he preached it, I was going to practice it. Amen. If I didn't have confidence in a preacher that would preach me the truth, that I couldn't trust what he's preaching, I wouldn't have him as my pastor. I'd go get me a liberal somewhere. I'd go settle down in one of these compromising churches that don't say nothing about nothing. But he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Well, you know it's a he now. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. And he didn't tell me this till later. He said, I'm going to get in line. I'm going to do what my pastor's preaching out of that Bible. And you know, see what happens. God began to put blessings in his life. God began to work in his life. And he told me, preacher, it works. It does work. Give something, get something. And I'll tell you, what you get from God will be bigger than what you gave up. God will not let you outgive him. God will not let you give up something in your life, my friend, whether it be a habit or whether it be whatever, and then he replace it with something lesser. God's just not going to do that, Brother Cliff. Amen. But I remind you that it wasn't stolen, it was swapped. Now the Bible said in the book of John chapter 10 about the devil that he's a thief. Now we know what thieves do. In fact, that verse of Scripture says the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. A thief comes in when you're not looking. A thief comes in when you don't know about it. A thief's sneaky. A thief, my friend, tries to slip in and take things without your permission. But I tell you how conniving the devil is. He is a thief. And he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said so, and I agree with it. Amen. He's doing that in our society. You don't have to look around far to see all of those stealing and killing and destroying. The devil is doing that to a lot of people, homes and young people. But I'll tell you how powerful the devil is. He is a thief. But he is so powerful, and he's such a deceiver, that he'll have a conversation going on with you, and he'll talk you out of your blessings, and you will swap with him before you even know what's going on. He'll put a friend in your life. He'll put a friend in your life that'll make you offers. He'll put a friend in your life, my friend, that's been put in your life as an agent of hell. There's very few things that the devil uses more than friends. You young people better be on high alert about your friends. Because the devil will slip one in as a divine agent and a divine tool that he has put in your life, my friend, for destructive purposes. And they're easy to identify. If I had the time and was preaching in that line, I'd help you identify them. If you start running around with somebody and your heart starts getting cold toward God, mark it down, friend. They're not put in your life of the Lord. Start dating somebody, start liking somebody, and all of a sudden your heart gets cold and calloused toward God. Holy Ghost gets to moving and you're cold as a dog's nose. Dead as 4 o'clock, no response to the Holy Ghost. Guess what? You're headed in the wrong direction fast. Amen. I'd like to say to all young people, don't be in no big hurry to get married. Amen. You better know, I'm telling you, you better know as if God wrote it in the clouds, buddy, that the one you're considering is the will of God. And it's pretty easy to consider that and to know whether that's so or not. But I'm not preaching to that. I preach to young people all the time. They need it. I need it. They need it. But the devil will talk you out of your blessing. He'll catch you at a weak time, a discouraged time, and my friend, he'll make you offers of things that looks mighty good. Don't you know that bowl of pottage, that bowl of lentils, my friend, looked mighty good to Esau when he had come in from the field hunting and hadn't killed nothing? Are you listening? He must have been from Tennessee. Amen. And he came in and he was starving to death. The Bible said he was faint. And then he says to Jacob, feed me. If you ever say, feed me, if you ever let your hunger and your appetite spiritually, physically, fleshly, get in the driver's seat. I promise you there'll be a bowl of pottage on the table for you. If you ever say, feed me, you'll get fed. You better just watch out who you're saying, feed me. If you say, feed me to God, He'll feed you. But if you say, feed me to the devil, my friend, He'll feed you. You may not like what you've ate later on, but you will eat it. Are you listening? But it wasn't stolen. Let me go on. I've got to hurry. The Bible's full of examples of people that bargained with their blessings and came out losers. Eve. Adam and Eve bargained with the blessings of God. Consider the blessings they had. Consider the goodness of God on Eve and Adam's life. But look how cheaply they lost it. Cheaply. Cheap. Lost the garden of paradise for a cheap little moment. You better watch out, dear friend. The devil will put a moment in your life. And I promise you, it'll be a cheap experience. Well, on the other hand, it'll turn out being a costly experience. But let me hurry up and mention this and deal with this. Of course, the prodigal son. The prodigal son. Are y'all listening to this preacher? The prodigal son. Look what it costs him for a little cheap time in a far country. Are you listening? David looked when he shouldn't have been looking. Stayed home when he should have been on the battlefield. And guess what? Before you know it, a look became a lust. And then it became a leap. And before you know it, he was in over his eyeballs in sin. And my friend, guess what? He didn't like the price. He didn't like the price because he went and buried his boy. He didn't like the price. And on we could go. There will always be a trade-off or a swap. Your removals will be filled with replacements. That works both ways, as we've done shared. The trade will not happen until you esteem what you are wanting to be bigger and more important than what you've got. The devil knows he can't get you to swap. The devil knows he can't get you to bargain until you begin to do like Esau and despise your birthright. And that word despise means this: to treat as worthless, to disesteem. You know, when you and I, boy, I feel God speaking to us tonight. When God, listen, when we're in danger, all of us, individually or church collectively, when we're in danger, my friend, of bargaining with the blessings of God and coming out a loser is when we begin to lose the value of the blessings of God. This morning's service, I think we had a decent service. Pretty good liberty. Choir had good liberty, seemed like. Brother Mark had good liberty. I had pretty good liberty to preach. But I tell you what I did not sense in the service. None. What was it? Power. Conviction. Drawing power. Say, preacher, you said we had liberty. You know what I believe I've come to learn, Brother Williams, in my short 27 years of being saved and preaching the gospel? There's a difference between liberty and power. I believe you can have liberty and have a good time without having the power of God. And I don't know if anybody else noticed it, because I'm looking for these things. I'm paying attention to these things, and maybe overly so sometimes. But I went home alarmed. I went home kind of somewhat disturbed that there was a lack of power in the service. It wasn't dead. Our service, I didn't think, was dead, but I never detected no real drawing power of the Holy Spirit. And that bothered me. That alarmed me. Folks, if we listen, this may be more of a preventative message than it is dealing with a cure. But I want to tell you that those old timers said, what is it? An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Amen. God may just drop this message in here, Brother Craddock, right here, right in the middle of the blessings of God, to just kind of just shake us up a little bit and let us realize that what God's doing is not automatic and it's not free. It's going to be costly, and the devil's after it. I challenged our men in the prayer room a while ago. Buddy, we better step it up. We better step it up in prayer. The devil's after us. He's not going to sit back and let us grow. He's not going to sit back and let these people get saved without an attack. He's going to attack us. Amen. I'm a realist. That's real. That's a fact. Amen. But I want us to know, listen, friend, we'll be in danger of losing or swapping out the blessings of God when we start getting used to it. Do I need to take any of our time tonight and remind us of how we were just a few months ago? Do I need to take any of our time, Brother Craig, and just go back and remind us of the few months ago RVT condition when we was dead as a hammer, powerless as... Amen? Are you listening? We wasn't growing. In fact, we was getting stale by the week, by the day. Do I need to go back and remind us of where we were so that we can appreciate more of where we are? Yes, friend, the other night I told our new people that's been coming that what RBT is today, it has not always been, and it didn't come cheaply. Brother, we've paid the price. There's been storm after storm that we've went through, heartache after heartache that we've went through. And if it took it, I'd do it again to get us, Brother Matt, where we are today. We better not get used to what God's doing. You know what happens when you get used to something? Familiarity breeds contempt. When you start getting familiar with 136 on Sunday morning, when just a few months ago we was running 60 and 70. Are y'all listening? Just a few months ago. Let's not get familiar with it. Esau, I guarantee, got familiar with his birthright. Wasn't valuable to him at this moment. And he put it on the auction block and somebody made a bid and he lost. Are you listening? Listen, let me just say that again. I want to say it again, dear friend. Listen, the trade, the swap, the bargaining will not happen until you esteem what you're wanting to be more than what you've got. You better watch it. God, help me to hear this tonight. We better watch it, because if we start wanting things and we start putting a greater value on those things than what we've got, it'll be much easier to swap when you realize, when you think at least, what I want is bigger than what I've got. You better watch it, because listen, you may end up getting what you want, but you'll probably lose what you had. Amen. God help us all to hear this. I'm not preaching this to any one person. I'm preaching it to all of us. And like I said, this began back in September. All right, let's look at it. I want to share some more things with you quickly. He traded off the spiritual for the physical. He traded off the spiritual for the physical. He allowed his physical or fleshly concerns to become priority over spiritual blessings. If you don't think we can get there, if you don't think some are not already there, listen, you better watch it. You better watch it, friend. You'll trade off spiritual things for physical things. You can't get the bowl of pottage without losing your blessing. It's going to cost you. You may get what you want, but you're going to lose what you had. He traded off the spiritual for the physical. The bowl of fleshly pleasure cannot be had without losing the spiritual blessings. He traded, listen, he traded and swapped or sold his birthright for the temporal. for the temporal. For what? How long does a meal last? A day at most? I ate enough at lunch to feed an army, but I'll be hungry again probably after a while. He swapped off spiritual things for something that might last a day. The birthright would have lasted him the rest of his life and brought blessings on his children. But he, in a weak moment, bargained with the blessings of God and lost. Help us, Jesus. His birthright would have, well, I've already said that affected him for years, but the bowl of pottage only affected him for a few moments. Trading the blessings for that which will only gratify the desires of the flesh temporarily. I want to deal with it from another angle. He traded the heavenly for the earthly. How many people in church today, Brother Brian's doing that? Trading off the heavenly for the earthly. God help us. I don't think that we're feeling the seriousness of this tonight. God help us. He traded off the heavenly for the earthly, and that could be preached on and on. But let me deal with it from another angle. He traded the inside for the outside. He bargained with the holy to satisfy the hunger of the flesh. Could we get that point tonight? He bargained with the holy only to gratify some fleshly hunger. Listen to this. Let me look at it from another angle. He traded what could not be bought for what could be bought. The bowl of pottage, cheap. He could have bought it, but he didn't. And of all people, you'd have thought Jacob, his own brother, would have helped his brother when he was hungry. But instead, being the sneaky, conniving trickster as Jacob was, thought, well, I'll take advantage of my brother and his weakness, and I'm going to get something out of this. And that almost cost Jacob his life because Esau was coming to kill him later on in the book of Genesis. And if it hadn't have been for Jacob's humble spirit, knowing that the jig was up for him, if God didn't show mercy on him, Esau was going to kill him. But listen to this. You've got to hurry. He traded for what could not be bought for what could be bought. What may not cost some to have may cost much for others to have. It didn't cost Jacob to have that bowl of pottage, but now it sure costed Esau to have it. Are you listening? The bowl of beans wasn't very costly in itself, but the cost or expense was in what he had to give up in order to get it. Boy, this one right here really got a hold of me. He traded the sacred for the common. God. He traded off the sacred for the common. God, have mercy on us. He traded the costly for the cheap. And there's on and on ways you could deal with it. But let me just share this with you and just hopefully God will help us with it. I'm about done. You listen close. When did it happen? I got to notice and got interested when it happened. When did this trade-off happen? When did this swap happen? When did the bargaining of the with the blessings of God take place? I found out, number one, it was in a downtime. It was in a downtime of heartlessness. The Bible says there that he was faint. In verse 29, he came in from the field and he was faint. And the word faint many times in the Bible means heartless, to lose heart, to lose strength. He was faint, meaning he was weak. There was a downtime in his life. When did this happen? When did the bargain take place? When did he lose the blessing? When did he? It was in a downtime. Boy, you better watch it, friend. There's two areas in your life you better be on high alert, and that's uptime and a downtime. When you're thinking you're standing, you better watch out. When you think you're doing good, you better watch out. When you think, praise God, I'm on a cloud 11, praise God, you better watch it. But then also when you're down, because when you're weak and you're true physically, when you're weak physically, you're susceptible to catching sicknesses and diseases and all that stuff. Isn't that right? Amen. So you better watch it. It happened in a downtime of heartlessness, verse number 29 and 30. Because he said in verse number 30, not only was he faint in verse 29, but in verse 30, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me. So you better watch it. Number two, I found out that when it happened was not only in a downtime of weakness or heartlessness, but it was also in a time of dissatisfaction or hunger. Esau had been hunting, and that was his source of food. He'd been hunting, Brother J.R., and he came home, hadn't killed nothing. He was wore out. He was tired, no doubt frustrated, aggravated. And he was dissatisfied because his hunger could not be satisfied. You better watch dissatisfaction. It'll bite you like a snake. If the devil can get you to concentrating on dissatisfaction, that is, needs that you have that's not being met, you better watch that, dear friend. You better watch that. So it was in a time of dissatisfaction and hunger that he said, feed me. He was impulsive. Esau acted out of impulse. I know it's quiet in here. Is everybody listening? Esau acted out of impulse. You better watch out being impulsive. That means you make decisions without thinking. That means you make decisions in the heat of the moment without thinking it through, and certainly without considering the end results. Let's beware. Let's beware. He was impulsive. He made decisions in the heat of the moment without considering the high cost. And I've done that. He was dominated by his appetite. He was dominated and being controlled by his appetite. Spiritually, fleshly, if you're not careful, fleshly, you allow your appetite. And by the way, I just thought I'd let you know, even though you're saved, your flesh is not saved. Your flesh still has an appetite. And I'm not talking about the fleshly appetite where it wants something to eat physically, a hamburger, a hot dog, or a steak. I'm talking about the physical, depraved appetite that your nature's got where it wants sin. When you're dominated by appetite, you will sell out your blessings. And this world, listen to me now, listen to me. This world is geared to arouse your appetites. Everything you watch, are you listening? We had someone in the service this morning visiting with us. And they told me, the preacher, and I wasn't asking, he just volunteered the information. Said, we just cut our cable off. I said, well, hallelujah for that. That ain't no sacrifice. Amen. It's getting quiet in here. Y'all notice that? You know why? Ain't nothing going to come through that tube that'll bless you spiritually. But rather will arouse your appetite. Rouse your appetites. Men don't just... Listen, come on now, ladies. Men, you too. Women don't just up and run off.
Men don't just up and run off. Appetites has got to be stirred. Appetites has got to be aroused. Lust has got to be aroused. And I will tell you, I heard the other day there's like 400 and something million pornographic sites on the website. I can't get a hold of that. I cannot grasp 400 and something million pornographic websites. I've got the stats at home. I didn't bring them because I didn't know I was going to use this, but I've got the stats at home that a high percentage, I wish I could remember the exact thing of it. Brother Bob, you may could help me with it. Of how much crime is porn related? Just, Brother Klepper, you was in it, in the law enforcement. Just about all child molestation comes out of it. Are you listening? Just about all rapes, the fire is being fueled by pornography. I promise you, if you could master it, you would be the first human being that's ever done it. If you can't master it, it will master you. It will fire. It will ignite. There's three fires in your life in the Bible that you need to know about. There's a human fire. That's that human fleshly fire. And if you feed it, it will turn into a raging flame in your life, and it'll be out of control, and you'll do things you never thought you'd do. And everything, listen, things that you watch, things that you listen to that feeds that fleshly fire, you better watch it. Are you listening? I had a counseling session, and I don't reveal, unless it's life-threatening, it's confidential. But years ago, several years ago, I was counseling with a young married couple, in fact. And I was counseling with them, and you know what? She didn't go into a lot of details because I didn't want to know it. But she said enough to let me know how wicked her husband was, even toward her. Treating her, and I know I'm in mixed company, and I know we got young people, but I'm not going to be no plainer in that television, I promise you. So don't get mad at me. He was treating her like a sex toy. And before she went any further, I said, I know where it's coming from. He's watching pornography, he's feeding his life on pornography, and he's trying to turn you into what he's seeing. Brother Williams, you're a counselor. Am I right on that? Can you take fire in your bosom and without being burnt? No. And that fire is talking about that human fire of lust, that human fire, that physical fire. Listen, you can't feed that fire without it seeking gratification. Best thing to do is don't feed it. Music you listen to, a lot of the world's music, a lot of the world's movies, a lot of the world's magazines, all is geared through the video and the audio to stir up the lust of man and the lust of women. I'm preaching the truth. It don't matter. It's a truth. I promise you it's a truth. Amen. And it needs to be preached in our churches. I'll tell you why one of the reasons it needs to be preached in our churches, because there is as many, and Brother Williams, you can vouch for this, being a counselor, there's as many divorced people in church, I'm talking about marriages in church that's going to divorce courts as people outside of church. Now, if it don't need to be preached, then you tell me why our homes are falling apart. Feed that fire, friend, and you'll get burnt. Amen. You young girls, listen to me. I'm going to get plain with you. I don't care. Listen. No, I do care. That's why I'm getting plain with you. I do care.
Any boy, my friend, that makes any advances toward you, touching you, saying things suggestive to you, you better get away from that sorry heathen, because I guarantee there's pornography in his background and he's looking to gratify those desires with you. Amen. It's the truth, ain't it? He was dominated by appetite. He was dominated by appetite. He didn't really think about his decision thoroughly. He didn't consider the consequences, how it would affect him tomorrow. As Hebrews 12 said, and afterward. There will be an afterward. And let me deal with this quickly and I'm done. It happened at a time of despair and hopelessness. You know what he said, Sister Betty? He said right here in verse 32, and Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" Everything's falling apart. Despair set in. Hopelessness is set in. I'm never going to make it. I'm not going to live long nohow. So I might as well give in. I'd rather die than to give up. I'd rather die than to give in. Because you may be wrong on your assumption. You may just assume you're dying. You may just be feeling that you're dying. You may just feel like you're fixing to go under spiritually. But you still may have a whole lot of life left ahead of you. And if you give up and sail out, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have to live with regret the rest of your life. And if my preaching, can get in the way of a young person ruining their life, his or hers, then I consider it well done and a success. Amen. And you young people, and I don't think that I'm anything. I know me. And I want you young people to know this preacher wants to stand between you and sin. I want to expose it. I want to expose it to you. I want to expose it for what it is. It is not your friend. Sin has never been a friend to nobody. It wants to ruin you. It wants to destroy you. And I'll tell you, young people, where it first starts to show up is in your relationship to your parents. Ephesians, the second chapter, where in the times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. One of the signs of the end time in 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, and he give, I think it's 23 signs, and guess what one of them is? Disobedient to parents. Amen. Are you listening to this preacher? God's trying to help us. But it was in a time of despair and hopelessness. A time of giving up. A time of thinking, I'm not going to make it. Boy, how many times have you went through valleys and battles and burdens and trials and you thought, man, this is it for me. This is terrible. I'm not going to make it. Yeah. Hey, has the devil told you that before? Come on, say amen right there. Has the devil not told you that before? You wasn't going to make it, Brother Brian. This is it for you. You're at the point of death. And look at you. He was a liar. You didn't die. I tell you how weak Esau was. He thought just because he hadn't eaten 14 times that day that he was going to die. It probably wouldn't hurt none of us to go a day or two without eating. Say amen right there. Now we probably thought it will. Listen, have you ever done any fasting? You ought to try it sometime. It is scriptural, by the way. You ought to try it sometime. You don't know I'm supposed to tell when you fast. But I like to tell it sometimes as just spiritual example afterwards. Just a few days ago, Lord impressed me to fast. And I went to visit one of our church members. Not ever since a spread of food in all my born days. And if they offered, you know I don't like to eat too much.
Amen, Brother Stanley. I kind of got a habit of it. But I thought of all kinds. And they offered me that chicken. And I'm telling you, my flesh wanted to eat it so bad. I mean, I could taste it. And I about give in. I'm telling you, I almost gave in a couple times. And I said to my flesh, no, you are not winning. You're not with. You better watch it, friend. I thought I was dying. I just went one day, just one day. And in fact, this point wasn't but a half a day. I just was a half a day into the fast, and I was already about to perish. You know where it was at, brother? Yeah. Brother, he just said, right here. Yeah. I got to thinking, you know what? This is stupid. Here I am, hungry, and there's all that chicken. And that's probably the reason, Sister Betty, they offered to me so much. They probably saw on my countenance that I was starving. But I was determined I wasn't going to let the flesh win because the flesh had already won. On another day, I bargained with the blessing and come out a loser. If you want to put your flesh in, if you want to put your flesh in check, tell it, you're not going to eat when it's hungry. And see what kind of a raging bear you've got inside you. You will turn into a beast. Yeah! Amen. Despair, you better watch it. Disappointment. Hadn't killed nothing. Disappointed. Come home. Here's Jacob, got bowls of beans everywhere, and that whole amen. And he's starving to death. Disappointment. Despair. Let me give you this right here and I'm done. Are y'all listening? Now, honestly, I am right here. You say, preacher, he made a bad decision. He made a bad choice. He did. But guess what it went on to do? One bad choice gave way to many bad choices. You know what happened? Read it sometime. Genesis 26, 34. You know what he did? He married heathen wives. You said, preacher, it's just a bowl of beans, preacher. It ain't going to cost much, preacher. No, the beans may not, but what you may give up to get it will cost you. But watch this right here. You may kick into gear a process. You may kick into gear a series of choices. If you can't make a wise decision about a bowl of beans, you won't make a wise decision about a wife. He married many heathen wives. And watch this right here. And that right there is something we need to note. He put off repenting. According to Hebrews 12 and 17, he put off repenting. He put off getting right with God. To the point, Brother Silas, that the Bible says in Hebrews 12:17, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited a blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He wanted to get right with God. He wanted to get right with God, but could find no place. See, to get right with God, you have to have a place. To get saved, you've got to have a place. You can't just get saved anywhere at any time. You get saved when you have the place to do so. And those places are when God is dealing with you. Whether it's riding down the road, whether it's in a church service, whether it's at the house, in the bed, in the shower, or as Brother Ivan, in a tree stand, wherever it is. When God's dealing with you, that's your place. Esau never had a place. You know what that tells me? God never dealt with him. Young people, I'm going to tell you, you better treat it seriously when God gives you a place to repent. I go preach a lot. I go preach a lot in a lot of churches. And I've been preaching here for 16 years. And I want to tell you something. I've seen God move through services, and I've seen young people and adults alike sit in the pew. Nobody's home, preacher. I ain't paying you a lick of attention. You know what I believe it is? God ain't dealing with them. I can't hardly see how could God not deal with them, but I've seen people God, I believe, wasn't dealing with. Powerful service, convicting service, and they just sat there just not interested. God ever deals with you and touches on your heart, buddy, you better take it seriously. You young girls listening to me back there? Nothing you're talking about is more important than what I'm talking about. I'm as serious as a heart attack tonight. I really do believe, now I'm not being mean, you know that. I really do believe I'm standing in the way of somebody tonight. Not me, correction, the message. Standing in the way. Don't bargain your blessings out cheaply. Because you'll get up the next day and you'll be kicking yourself. And you'll be so mad that you had it and now you don't have it. And we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about spirituality and blessings. Miss Betty, listening to this message tonight, and like I said, this come out of my experience. You said, preacher, you mean to tell me that you've lost ground anytime? Oh, my spirituality requires maintenance. And yours does too. If you're going to be spiritual and right with God on a consistent basis, it's going to take maintenance, Brother Rob. It's going to take maintenance. It's going to take attention. It's going to have to be alert. You have to be alert. You young people, we've had several young people lately making moves toward God. Hallelujah for that. But what are you still doing? I'm glad you went to the altar. Or I'm glad you've done business with God whenever or wherever. But what are you still doing? You cannot put your spirituality in neutral and expect to climb. Put it in neutral and guess what direction you're going. Because spirituality is an uphill climb. If you're going to another level, it'll be on purpose. If you go to another level, it'll be because you've got the power engaged. And you're going higher with God. Amen. Young people, are you feeding your fire? Are you feeding your spirituality? Or do you have the mind, I'm close enough. I'm doing enough. I'm right enough. There's no place to cool off, no place to sit down, no plateaus to clear out Brother Aaron and say this is good enough. I'm not what I was a few days ago, a few weeks ago. Thank God I'm not what I was, and that's wonderful. But where you are compared to where God wants you to be is incomparable. God's got great things for you. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep pressing. Pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand.